All right, we'll do a condensed version because it's a little late. So, the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in the Perek, I believe, on your Testament Beis, talks about Schach Metz in the days before Schach Metz. So it says, Machtzelas Kanem Gedola, Asa L'Shchiva Mekabelas Tuma Ve'Ein Mesachkin Ba, L'Sikuch Mesachkin Ba, Ve'Ein Mekabelas Tuma. So you have the Tanakama in the Mishnah says that a Stam Machtzelas, which was Gedola, so if it was done L'Shchiva, then it's Mekabel Tuma Ve'Ein Mesachkin Ba, and L'Sikuch Mesachkin Ba Ve'Ein Mekabelas Tuma. So obviously the whole question is, why can you or can't you be mesachich with a mat? And the answer the Mishnah is telling you is that if it's a davar makabel tuma, because it's nasa lemedris, it's made to be a kli that one lies down on, then therefore it's a davar makabel tuma, and you can't be mesachich with a davar makabel tuma, even though it's all made out of kosher schach materials. That's irrelevant, because it in and of itself is the type of kli that's makabel tuma. So the question then is, the Mishnah is a little bit hard to understand, but basically the Gemara goes back and forth in terms of what's pshat in the Mishnah, and the Gemara concludes that the Shita Schacham, the Shita that against Rabbi Eliezer is that if you have a Stam small mat, so the small mat is Mistama Nase Lishchiva, it was made to be lied down on, and therefore it is a Davra Makabel Tuma. And the Stam big mat is considered to be not made l'shchiva and is therefore not a davar makabel tuma, and you can be mesachich. That's basically the conclusion of the Gemara in terms of the shitas chachamim. So that if that's so, so the question is, what are the sizes that we're talking about here? Meaning, what is big, what is small? So based on the Gemara, what would you say big? What would you say small means? What do you think? No, so just the opposite. No, because what was it made for if it's called a small mat? It's nasa l'shchiva. It's made for a person to lie down on. So a small mat apparently is what we would consider something that's fairly large. Right? Most schach mats that we talk about bizman hazeh are probably around that size, a little bigger, a little smaller. But if this mat was nasa l'shchiva, that means that it's big enough, probably, that the average-sized human being could lie down on it, and it would serve as a bed or some type of a, you know, when you were a little kid in kindergarten, you probably took a nap on a mat, right? So that size mat, but designed for an adult, would probably be what's called a small-size mat by the Mishnah and the Gemara. Whereas a large-size mat would have to be what? I don't know, bigger than that, right? Anything which is bigger, probably, you know, Machtzelas Gedola would be considered anything which is larger than the size of an average human being or the size of an average mattress. Something, I don't know if it has to be double the size, but Mistama, it would be large enough that when one looks at it, they wouldn't assume that it was made as something you rest on. I think Bizman Hazeh, there are people who still sleep on mats. I have a friend who, this is already going back about 17 years, I have a friend who, he went to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for the year also, but he was very into martial arts, so he went to Japan for the year. It was like, also, he was Shana Aleph in martial arts in Japan. So he said he slept on a mat. That was part of the whole shtick. It was part of the whole shtick. He said he made friends with a lot of from businessmen. They were in Japan on business, and so he said there wasn't such a kavua chevra, but there was constant businessmen, you know, coming in and out, and he, you know, did his thing, and he said, I think he slept on a machtzelas akanim. So apparently, even bizman hazeh, there are people who still sleep on these mats. So if you're ever in Japan and you want to buy yourself a nice chach mat, make sure it has some kind of a hechsher, that it's not actually something which was supposed to actually be made lemedris. I don't know where else you'd have to worry about it, but mistama, there are other places as well. Anyway, so that's what we would say based on the Gemara. Now, if you take a look in the Rush quotes a very interesting shita. The Rush at the very end of the Perek. What simon is it? It is simon. I didn't write down what simon it is. I'll have to take a look. Lamed Zayin. So the Rush in Simon Lamed Zayin, tentatively, you have it?
Middle
the Rush at the end of Siman, or towards the middle of Siman Lamed Zayin, quotes a machlokes between Rabbeinu Yishayim Mitirni and himself. So he quotes Rabbeinu Yishayim Mitirni. Rabbeinu Yishayim Mitirni, I don't know if that was the same Rabbeinu Yishayim we've been talking about all the time. Usually when he quotes Rabbeinu Yishayim Mitirni, he quotes Rabbeinu Yishayim Mitirni. That's the Tosos Rid, by the way. Rabbeinu Yishayim Mitirni is the Tosos Rid. The other Rabbeinu Yishayim I've been referring to as Rabbeinu Yishayim just because maybe it's somebody else, and Stam Rabbeinu Yishayim is not the Tosos Rid, and this Rabbeinu Yishayim is the Tosos Rid. I don't know. But he quotes the Tosos Rid, who has an interesting shita in terms of what's called Nase L'Shchiva and what's not called Nase L'Shchiva. So he quotes the shita, Kosav Rav Yishayim Mitirni, Elu HaMachtzolos Shemokrim HaTagrim V'Stama Lav L'Shchiva Avidei. So he says, the following Machtzolos are not considered L'Shchiva, Shehein Memalin Osam Tzemer, because they fill them up with wool. They fill them up with wool, and apparently that would make them not be considered l'shchiva. V'gam osimei and mechitzos, and they use them as like screens. They use them as let's say a dressing screen or something like that to put up in the local shul. I don't know what for, but hilkach lav baser asiyosan azlinon shehauman eno oso son el lemachron lemishetzarich lahen. So he says, therefore, these are not considered made for the purposes of Shchiva, because they're not really considered made for the purpose of anything. So therefore, the Asiyah is not going to be Koveya. V'yim kain, ein leilich achar kniyasa. You go based on why the guy bought it. Shimkano adam l'shchiva mekabelas tuma, v'imkano l'tzorach davar acher eino mekabelas tuma. So he says that whatever you bought it for, that's going to be considered its ikar tashmish, and therefore it's not going to be mekabel tuma. If you bought it for schach, then it doesn't matter what the maker had in mind, because he mistama didn't have anything in mind. He had in mind what you wanted to do with it. And thus, you're allowed to be mesachich because not called government kabel tuma, since that was your intention b'shas kniya. But in terms of if you bought it for the reasons of using it l'shchiva, even had you not had in mind that you wanted to use it as scha, even if the maker had in mind something else or he had nothing in mind, then it's considered a davar mekabel tuma. It all goes based on you and why you bought it. V'im kain, Adam yachol liknos machtzelas chadasha l'shem sukkah l'sachich ba, afal pi dechazya l'shchiva. Even though it's something which is made, generally speaking, and it's perfect size for shchiva, basar machshavto azlinon. Right, we go based on the buyer's machshava. V'kaven dekan alitzorech sukkah v'sikech ba ena mekabelas tuma. And since that was his kavana, he wanted to use it as schach, it's not called davar mekabel tuma. That is the shita of the Tosfos Rid. And it's very, very hard to understand the flow of his svara. Did you catch the flow? He goes in a couple of steps. Step number one is, there are places where it's clear that they're not dafka made l'shchiva. How do I know? Because I see what they do with them in those places. They put stuff inside of them, they stand them up, and they use them as mechitzos. So in those places, what do we follow? So since, obviously, in a place where they're going to sell it for all kinds of different reasons, the maker of the mat has no idea what you're going to do with it, and therefore we go based on the kavana of the buyer. Whatever the buyer wants to do, that's what's considered its tashmish, and it's either mekabel tuma or not mekabel tuma based on the understanding of the buyer of what he plans on using it for. Then he says at the end, im kain, if you're going to accept what I just said there, then basically you can buy a machtzelis, and it all goes based on you. That seems to be the flow. Did you catch that? I'm saying when you read it, or when you heard me read it, did you catch that as the ikar flow there? That last step is extremely iffy. Why on earth should it matter that we're going to paskin all the time that we go based on the machshava of the buyer just because there are some places where they sell it for all kinds of reasons? And lest you think I'm reading it wrong, check out the Rush's comment on what the Tosfos Rid says. So the Rush is going to argue on this Shita. The lo mistaberli, I don't find that to be logical. Ela basar minig anshe amakom azlinon. Kidika omar lo nechleku rebdosa v'chachamim amachtzeles usha shein tmeos. So what do you see? The Gemara has a statement straight up that a machtzeles that sold in Usha was always done the Shechiva, and that's why they're always Tameh. And clearly, what are we concerned with? The Minig HaMakom. We're not concerned with the Machshav of the buyer. Hilkach b'makom shenagu lishkov aleyen afilu amar l'uman l'sakno lo l'sikuch ein l'sakin ba demi yodeya sh'amar l'uman l'sakno lo l'sikuch v'asu kuleyama l'schuche behu. And then he tells you that, what's my reason for differentiating between myself and Rabbeinu Yishai Mitirni? The reason is, Marisayim. That's what it seems to say at the end. So I have to say, this rush from beginning till end is very choppy. It's very hard to understand the logical steps that are going on in the rush. First, he quotes Rabbeinu Yishai Mitirni and he says two separate statements. Number one, there are places where they sell them and they're not really sure what you're going to do with them. So in those places, it's going to go bust to the buyer. And therefore, we see it goes bust to the buyer. I don't know how 1 + 1 = 2 over there. And then furthermore, the Rush argues on him, but he doesn't argue on him. The Rush says he doesn't think his svara is mistaber, and he quotes the Gemara that's clearly against his shita, where he says that if it's usha and they're made the sikuch, then you know clearly. If it's usha and they're all made the shchiva, then a stam mat is for sure usher, and doesn't take into account why the guy bought it. And last but not least, he says that, and even if you told the guy to make one for you, l'shem schach, it's not going to work because it's a marasayim. So at the end, the last svara seems to be like, even if it would work, it's still marasayim, it doesn't matter. So was his svara all along marasayim? And does he really agree with the Tosas Rid? Or is he throwing in at the end, even if I were to agree with you, it would still be a problem with marasayim? Yeah. That's a major jump, right? He's jumping in his own logic. See, let's say I would have had a different set of circumstances in his writings. Let's say it would have said it. Let's say that the actual quote from the Rishon would be that, like, in a place where they sell it stam, then it goes bust to the buyer, right? And then somebody else, based on that, said, oh, and that means it always goes bust to the buyer. So then you would jump in and say, ah, what an achrayin shetera, that's not what he meant. But he says it himself. And lo yitzur, you want a taina that he doesn't really mean it. It's not so, because that's how the Rush understands it for sure. Because then the Rush argues, he says, we always go bust to the minig amakum. Mashma, that he understand Rabbeinu Yishaya, not going bust to the minig amakum. Going bust to the buyer always, even when the Minig HaMakom is clearly against him. Otherwise, the kasha on him from the Gemara makes no sense. So it's like he's saying an Achrona Shavart in his own vort. He's adding a major jump that doesn't necessarily follow. Yeah.
He's for sure not talking about in those places. It's like how he's talking about
in other places. The Rush or Rabbeinu Yishai? Rabbeinu Yishai is understood by the Rush as saying that even when the Minig HaMakom is that everyone's using them for Shechiva, we still go based on the Minig HaMakom, not the Kavanah of the buyer. That he says Befeirush. Otherwise, that comment and the comment that the Gemara says by the Machtzelos of Usha makes no sense. It's not a kasha on Rabbeinu Yishai at all. Yeah.
Did Rabbeinu Yishai say that if you only get something with Shechiva for a certain way, then we go by that? What's the problem from that?
Where did he say that exactly?
Although he said that if you know that they do something for Nasiya for a certain way, then we go by that. But the question is, what if you don't know, then we go Basar and Bach Shah.
That's what I would have said was his Shita until the last line. Right? Where does he say? He says, first, he quotes the place that they make them for stam reasons. We don't know what the reason is. So then we're going to go based on the buyer, right? And then he says, "Vimkein ein leilich ela achar kniyasa shimkano adam l'shchiva mekabelas tuma." Fine. Vimkano l'tzorach davar achar ina mekabelas tuma. Vimkein. This vimkein part, he should have left it out, according to what you're saying, and that's what I would have said also. Vimkein adam yachol liknos machtelas chadasha l'shem sukul l'sachich ba afal gad dechazi l'shchiva pasar machshavto azlinim vekevin the kano l'tzorach schach sukul v'sikich ba ina mekabelas tuma. That last thing is completely extra unless you say that he really means it everywhere. And that's how the Rush understands him as saying such. The Rush is saying that last line is telling me that he really means it. That was the basis for his comment. He was saying, like, take a nice harmless example. He started with a nice harmless example where the maker had nothing in mind. He had in mind whatever you want to do with it. And then even in a place where the minig is, to sell it for any, you know, the minig is to sell it dafka for shchiva, so we still go based on the kavanah of the buyer. Otherwise, what's he doing with the last line? I think that's why the Rush holds that that's what he's saying. And then the Rush disagrees in two ways. He says, number one, it's a befer shegemara, not that way. Right? And number two, even if he would have told the maker to do it that way, it would still be Marisayan. So the question really is the Rush saying it's always Marisayan and that's the problem? But Einachinami, Rabbi Nishai, is correct. Just what are you going to do? You're going to make the whole world, everyone's going to see, oh, look, he has a sleeping mat on the top of his sukkah. I have a sleeping mat. Why am I wasting my time schlepping palm branches and bamboo poles? Let me just use my sleeping mat that I already have for sleeping. And you're just going to schlep your sleeping mat out there and put it on the schach, and you're going to have yourself a puzzle sukkah. Is that the problem? Or is it a double problem? That number one, he's wrong. His svara is not correct. Number two, even if his svara was correct, still a problem on his side. Unclear what the Rush really means. Yeah.
If it's the first shot, then why, if it's only Rush saying it's only Marzain, why would you bring the Gemara against those three?
Maybe he says the Pshat and the Gemara is Marzain. It doesn't matter what you tell the guy. It doesn't matter. You go to the Uman and you say, make me a beautiful schach mat. And then you make the schach mat. And you put it up there, that's going to be Marisayan. He did that in Usha, doesn't matter. Doesn't count. So, I don't know, this is the machlokes. I can tell you that the Achronish Sfarim seem to say that Rabbi Nishai and the Rush do agree, and that the Rush just argues in terms of Marisayan. But really, Be'etzim, he does agree. But you have to keep in mind that doesn't read so smoothly into the Rush. But on the other hand, it definitely could be exactly what he means. And the Rabbeinu Yishai, the question is, how did he make that logical jump? So I saw something very nice. The Birkas Avraham has a very nice piece on this whole sugya, but one paragraph there in the Birkas Avraham, I think, helps a lot with understanding the Rabbeinu Yishai. Basically, it's not such a large logical jump at all. Rabbi Nishai was saying that since there are places where it's clear that the kavana of the uman who puts it together is dafka stam, he doesn't have anything in mind because he just wants to sell the mat. So what do you see from there? Why are these guys building mats? I'm saying, why are they building mats? To make money, exactly. What business are they in? Are they in the business of sleep? I'm adding a lot to the way he phrased it, but I think this is what he meant. Are they in the business of sleep? Are they in the business of giving people a better night's rest? No, they're in the business of making money. If people want to sleep, they'll make mats for sleeping. If people want to, you know, make mechitzas out of the mats, they'll make the mats. You tell me what size mat you want, and that's what I'm going to make. Right? If I go to a country where everybody's very, very tired all the time, I'm going to make a lot of mats. Why? Because I really care about my client. So that would be nice, but Lemaisa, that's not what's going on in the business world. They're out, they're in it for the money. They're in it, dafka, to make a product that will sell. So if in one country, in Usha, all the sleeping mats will sell because everyone loves sleeping on mats. They're going to make mats that are the right size for sleeping. But that's not their kavana when they make it. They're not thinking when they make the mat, oh, this is going to be great for sleeping. Right? Because l'maisa, it's very hard to say that if the uman had kavana for making the mat, dafka for shechiva, then you can be machshir it by your intention of buying it. That's a very, very shver svar. That's not a good idea at all. And l'maisa, the Rambam doesn't hold of it at all. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, the Rambam's in Perek Hei Halacha Vav, he quotes basically the Maskanas HaSugya. He says a stam small mat is for shechiva and therefore pasul, and a stam big mat is not for shechiva and therefore is kosher. He doesn't talk about whose intention, what intention, because of course it's mistaber that it always goes based on who made it. And you can't come along and be mevatel the das of whoever made it. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, you have to say that really the intention of the Tosfos Rid is that even when the guy made it l'shchiva, he didn't really make it l'shchiva. He made it because he thought that that's what would sell. The raya is that there are places that make these same mats and people do all kinds of things with them. They don't stop making the mats. They make more mats. They all look the same. They're all same size. In one country, they do one thing with them. So you think, what, this guy's going to go to the next country and he's going to say like, oh, we need those mats that you make. No, I'm not making any more mats in this country because you guys sleep on them. I only make them to be used as excellent mechitzas. Really, is the guy such a purist, he's such a mechitza purist, that he's not going to make mats if people are going to lie down on them? He'll make any kind of mat. And thus, the Tosfos Rid says that based on that, every maker is considered stam kavana, and therefore what you buy it for can be koveya. L'chora, that's the pshat in the Tosfos Rid. Yeah?
If you have a guy, so he, let's say, selling sleeping mats, so even though he knows like he'll just sell whatever he wants for your money, but if on the sleeping bag there's a tag that says sleeping bag, so he knows that he's selling it as a kli.
Right.
So why should I not count as kavana for making a kli?
No, so obviously that's a strong taina against Tosfos Rid and the Rush, if the Rush is really agreeing. But the counter argument is that in order to be the koveya, the shame, davar makabel tuma, in other words, you had to have made it for that kavana. That wasn't your ikar kavana. That was like you were thinking in your mind, how am I going to make more money? If I put the label that says sleeping mat on it, that'll make me more money because more people will want to buy it. But lav davka, that I cared about it being used for that tashmish. He didn't care what you're going to use it for. He cares that you're going to buy it. And thus, it's not considered serious das to turn it into a davar makabel tuma. Again, I'm not saying I would have said this far on my own, but you hear the taina once it's already in the Rishonim, you have to try to hear the taina. So I think maybe that's really the Rav Erlinger's pshat in the Birkas Avraham is a good way to explain what the Tosfos Rid is talking about, and l'chora the Rush agrees with him. So based on this, the Shulchan Aruch has a machlokis mechaber amah in Siman Tav Reish Chaf Tes Sivvav. The Machlokes Mechaber Amah. The Mechaber cites the Lashon of the Rambam almost verbatim. The Mechaber basically says that a stam, I'll read it inside. B'machtzela shel pishtan psula shel gemi v'shel siv k'sheira. I skipped a line, I'm sorry. Shel gemi ben shehi chalaka, ben shehi ru'uya l'shchiva, ben shehi ena chalaka, shehi ru'uya l'shchiva. Imi kitana stam omedes l'shchiva, u'mekabel es tumah v'ein mesachken ba, elam kein asol l'sikuch. So he says that if it's a small mat, then you have to know that it was dafka made for schach. And the Ramah then says, dahainu, what does it mean? Sherov b'nei osa ir osan asol l'sikuch. We go based on the majority of people in that city. Then the Mechaber continues, Vemi Gedola, Stamo Medes Lesikach Umesachkin Ba, Elem Kein Asal Leshchiva. Right, and if it's big, so the Stam Mat is considered good for Schach, unless you know for a fact that you got it at a big and tall sleep shop, that they dafka make big mattresses. So in the Ramah then adds again, Dahainu Sheminig Amakom Lishchov Alel. That's the, if the Minig Amakom is to sleep on it. And then he goes on and talking about what if it has a lip on the edge, what if it, all right, whatever. Lamaisa, the Ramah is going straight with the Rush's idea, and the Mechaber is going straight with the Rambam's idea, pretty, you know, falling along party lines. So the problem with the Ramah is that what did the Rush really say? The Rush said that I don't accept the svara of Rabbeinu Yishai Mitirni when the minig hamakom is to use the shchiva type mats for shchiva. Meaning the chiddush that Tosfos read was that you can use a shchiva type mat in a place that's made for shchiva as long as you bought it intending to use it for schach. And he argued no, that's going to be puzzle either because it's actually puzzle or because it's marasayin. So if you say that it's marasayin, so he's going to puzzle what? He's going to puzzle a mat that stoma made l'shchiva. But the Ramah said two comments. The Ramah made comment number one, exactly what the Rosh said, and then comment number two, he's talking about a large mat. That's not stoma made l'shchiva. And the Mechaber says, unless it's made dafka l'shchiva, how do you determine that? Da'ayinu sheminig ha-makom l'shchov alev. Because the minig ha-makom is to use it for shchiva. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, really? That's not what the Rosh says. The Rosh doesn't say when the minig ha-makom is to use a big mat for shchiva, then we're choshish for that. He only says it by a small mat. You're extending the Rosh's chumrah. You're extending the Rosh's chumrah tremendously. And on the other hand, you're messing up the Rosh's kula. What do you mean by that? So just listen to the words of Rabbi Kiva Eger. He says, Lo zachisi lahavin. I don't understand. Daha bedina rishon biktana darminan elim kenasol lesikuch. Right? The first din of the Mechaber was if it's a small mat, which is mistama used for lying down. So the kasav arosh, dahainu sherova irosim lesikuch. Kasav arosh hatam, delav kuleyama yodim. That's the reason of Marasayan. Vim Kane Zeh Chumra Mishum Marasayan. Aval Hacha Bigidola Imasal the Shriva. When you have a big mat and it was made the Shriva. Afim Ain Rova Yerosim the Shriva. Mikol Makom came and Asal the Shriva Makabal Tumma Vimisachimba. So he says, I don't understand. The Ramah added a line that's not in the Rosh. And it came out with a very, very strange kula that the Rosh might not hold of. What's that? The Mechaber said, if it's a big mat, stam big mat is for schach. And here, you're allowed to use the big mat for schach unless you know that it was explicitly made for sleeping. And the Rosh says, and what does that mean? That means that Rov B'nai Yair use it for sleeping. No, that's not what it means. Because if it was made for sleeping and nobody in the city uses it l'shchiva, saying, if this mat was made for sleeping and the guy sold it to you, he said, this is for sleeping, and nobody in the city uses it for sleeping, so then it's still davar makabel tuma. No? You hear the taina? So how come he's extending? He used the chumrah of the Rosh before that people are going to look and they're going to think that this was made for sleeping and therefore they're going to mislead them. But here, the Mechaber just says if it was made for sleeping, it's Mekabel Tumah and it's Pasul. And then the Ramah says, and what does that mean that it was made for sleeping? If the robe of that ear says made for sleeping. So I don't know. I mean, you could say a couple of answers. Maybe I don't understand the question, but the standard Achronish Teretz here is that even if the guy made it for sleeping in a makom that nobody uses it for sleeping, so maybe the Ramah with Taina Butla Daito Itzel Kol Adam, that his das is not what's going to be koveya whether this is the type of kli that's makabel tumah or not makabel tumah. It's rather nikba based on the minig makom, and whatever your das is, that's called butla daito itzel kol adam. And l'chora, that's the pshat in the Gemara, when the Gemara says that the mats in Usha were all l'shchiva, and they're all apostle, because the das of that makom was that if you make a mat, it's l'shchiva, and if you want to make one not for shchiva, then butla daito. That's all that matters. I think that's the standard answer. But I don't know if you have to come on to that. Maybe I'm missing something. But I don't think you have to come on to that, because If the Ramah is a Rush purist, if he's mamish saying exactly what we said in the Rush, then what's the real koveya? If the Tosfos reads real koveh is what you bought it for, so then even if it was made l'sikuch, then if you bought it, I'm sorry, if it was made l'shchiva and you bought it l'sikuch, so it's l'sikuch. It's not mekabel tuma. If the Rush is truly buying into that svara, and he says the only reason to stop it is marisayin, then yes, the definition of if it was asal l'shchiva is going to be if rov b'nei adam are using it for shchiva. Because if you bought it l'shem sikuch, then it doesn't matter what it was made for. So maybe that's the answer. It could be Rabbi Kiva Eger never envisioned that the Rush actually holds exactly like that. Ad kedei kach, that if somebody made it dafka for that purpose, then it would be called the shchiva. 1 second, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Again, maybe Rabbi Kiva Eger never thought that the Rush would have imagined a situation where it was made l'shchiva and still your buying is going to make it kosher for schach. The Rush saying that's ridiculous. The Rush would say that's ridiculous. Of course, your buying only helps when it's a stam situation or if it was dafka made for that, because the lashon of the Rush was if you told the uman make it for schach, then we still say a chashash marasayin. Meaning that's assuming the way we explain one possibility in the Rush, that the Rush really disagrees with the Tosfos Rid, he's just choshish for marasayin anyway. Even if Kulei Alma would agree that in a vacuum, this was not made l'shchiva, it was made l'schach, you went to the maker, or you were the maker, you made it yourself for schach. Still the Rush would say, in a place where Rov B'nei Adam use it for shchiva, you can't use it. Maybe that's the shot in Rabbi Kiva Eger, whereas the Ramah has the Rush fully accepting the shita of the Tosfos Rid, that whatever you buy it for is what's koveya, and therefore it's automatic that it's going to be determined by the Minig HaMakom, because what you bought it for still makes it good. It was made. The Shchiva, the only thing that's going to hold you back, and you bought it, L'Schach, the only thing that's going to hold you back is the Minig HaMakom. I don't know, that's a possibility. All right. I just wanted to. Have any time left? Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit of modern day mats in terms of this. So lechora would be a davar pashut that in modern times all the schach mats, according to this, would be kosher, because we don't live in Japan and people are not making mats l'shchiva. So what would be the difference between a mat that we use versus a mat that they used to use, which the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Beferish is kosher l'schach. So this is l'chora why they quote the Tshuvas HaRashba in Siman Nun Ches. Tshuvas HaRashba Siman Nun Ches says Beferish that any mat that's made dafka for the purpose of sikuch, or it's not made l'shchiva, is going to be kosher. Like the Gemara says, you don't need the Tshuvas HaRashba to tell you a Gemara. So it's a Beferish Gemara, but that's how he paskins. However, there are a number of poskim that point out some problems with today's mats. I'm not going to mention most of them, but the most important problem, l'chora, the most important problem can be found in a different Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Aleph and Siman Reish Yud Gimel. Like most of the Tshuvas, they're pretty short. Chelek Aleph, Siman Reish Yud Gimel, let me just get it, it's a short Tshuva, I can read you the whole thing. So, the question was basically as follows. Schach sukkah asuya minisarim she'in berchoven el tefach v'heim tkuim b'masmeiro shel barzel. So basically you had this flat group of wood planks that are tefach wide and they're stuck together by nails. V'heim mishulam kishlivas asulam. The ein bePesach hashliva shlosha tefachim, and they're put together with these nails like a ladder. So there's avir in between each one, but less than three tefachim of avir. Ubechag mesachkin osan b'hadas ubarava. So you put, I guess, hadasim and aravas on top to fill in the gaps, so you don't have a problem of avir. Im psulin im poslim esaschach machmas amasmerus. maybe the schach would be puzzle because the nails are metal, and the davar makabel tuma. V'fi sheshamati b'shem echad gadol shenas achsein b'bayis echad mibnei irenu v'tziva lahaser masmiras min aschach. Because there was certain talmud chacham that told somebody take the nails out. Hodienu taimo imishim shemekabel tuma v'imishim kach ma'ishna mishipun shel barzel shem yesh revach menim kimosan ksheira. So he says, is the reason that these nails constitute schach puzzle? And if so, if that's the reason, then even if you had entire beams of metal, as long as you had as much kosher schach in between them, it would be a kosher sukkah. So kal v'chomer, these little nails shouldn't puzzle a sukkah, mishum schach puzzle. So that's what the shoal asks. So the tshuva oso chacham osar, lo me oso ta'am, she'amar ta'osar. He says, that talmud chacham, who passeled it, didn't do it for the reason that you think. Because l'maisa, of course, those nails don't constitute enough schach posel. Maybe he was going with what one of my rabbeim says. Since they're stuck together by nails, maybe they're like one big, long, wide piece, not long, wide piece of wood. And it's considered a 4 tefach wide piece of wood. V'yesh b'mishum gzeres tikra. V'yesh shenechleku olav. Right? So he says, not everybody agrees to that understanding, that thing, that are boards that are nailed together are considered gzeres tikra. So v'ata haneach lohen kevan shenoagu she'af al pi she'ina neviim b'nei neviim heim. He says, don't worry so much about the Jews. Let them do what they were going to do, because that's the famous saying. Even if the Jews themselves are not neviim, they're b'nei neviim. So mashma that he says, don't take the minig amakum lightly. Jews generally know what they're doing, and they generally have things based in good sources. So the Tshuva Zarajba says that there's room to say that if there's planks, even though there's space in between them, that are stuck together in a kavua fashion, that might be a problem of gzeres tikra. That might be a problem of gzeres tikra. This is the major chashash that Rav Yashiv brings up. You have these kovitz tshuvas, right? So the first one was published way before the other ones. So we have three volumes here of these kovitz tshuvas from Rav Yashiv. So he has a short tshuva. Most of his tshuvas are pretty short too. He has a short tshuva on Sikach v'machzalos. This was written in the year Tufshin Lamed. So a long time ago. So they've had chances to make a lot of improvements in the mat since then. But this one improvement is never going to get taken care of, because by definition of the mat, it exists. Right? So they asked Rav Yashiv, what's the story? So he says, Heviu l'fanei machzalos osu me'atzei dikt. Apparently this type of wood, that's what they called it. Kayam arugim b'chutim v'amarti l'ashol ki yesh lodin al pishamash kaz of a rajba hu v'dvara b'beis Yosef sim t'afresh chavtes. So he says, I'm not so sure because of the tshuvas of rajba that we saw it inside, but the Beis Yosef quotes in t'afresh chavtes, t'kev on da'anisarim t'kuim b'masmerim haray kol anisurim k'neser echad rachav. It makes them all into one wide board. And he says, not only that, but the dion in the Tshuva Sarajba is in a situation where there is plenty of avir in between the boards. And nevertheless, he still says that it might be Gzeres Tikra. And he says, V'lachein kosav v'yesh chokim al zeh. That's why the Rajba said not everybody agrees. Aval kishan nesarim munachim echad aydei asheni kvuim b'masmerim l'kulei alma v'kin neser rochav echad k'moshkoz mogen avram sim tov reish chavav. So he says, but in a case where if the boards would be one next to the other and they would be nailed together, then I don't think even the Rajba wouldn't say let it go. The only reason the Rajba said let it go is that it's not such a gzeres tikra when you have, if you take a ladder and put it on top of your sukkah, so forget about the fact ladders are clean, but I'm saying, like, if you would take a ladder, something that was a ladder made for schach, so there you have tons of avir in between, so the avir is being filled in by other schach kosher. But even the Rajba would argue that nobody should do it if the ladder was made of planks and all the planks were filled in by more planks that were nailed in. That would for sure be Gzeiras Tikra. And then he throws in another possibility. He says, "V'hine dikt min eitzu amiskalef lachatichos dakim lo matzino min esarim chilek bein eitz ov bein eitz dak gam min eser dalit." No, I didn't. And he says, "Good gam min eser dalit im yeshbo nekavim nirishelo yatzim mechlal neser." He says, "So you'll argue, yeah, but there are holes inside the mat. Let's say you took a wide board that was four tefachim wide and poked some holes in it so the rain could get in, so the sunlight could get in." He doesn't think that would make it kosher. You can't just poke holes in the mat in the wide board and make that and call that schach. So he wants to say, all right, he wants to say that he thinks that's a major problem with the schach mats. Then he throws in at the end, zos ve'od ikel varure mativam shelachutim amachabrim esachatichos. What about the string? If it's the string is made from something which is kosher l'sikuch, dim lo ken yesh bo gam mishum maimed bedavar shein mesachkin bo. Then you could also have a shail of maimed, because now the maimed problem is going to be that the mats are being held together with string that's not kosher schach, stavar makabel tuma, let's say, and therefore every time the wind blows and the schach doesn't fall apart, so that's going to be a shail of maimed. Right, we mentioned a while back that it might not be a shail of maimed all the time when there's no wind. But if it's so common, meaning most schach mats, the bamboo is cut into halves or thirds or tiny little strips of bamboo, so that any small wind would constantly be blowing away any of these single bamboo slats. So there you have to say that it's maimed, even, you know, because that type of wind blows constantly. So that would be a problem of maimed. So I can't imagine, after all is said and done, that the type of string they tie the mats together since Tufshin Lamed, right? We're in Tufshin Ayin Aleph, right? So, I don't know, I'm not very good at math, but I think that's 41 years, right? I feel like in 41 years, they've gotten a little better at, like, making schach mats. It could be that one was completely good, too, that the string was not a davar makabel tuma. So, but I gotta believe with all the various hechsherim and everything that's out there, they made sure to tie it together with string that's not makabel tuma. I don't know. That's just, maybe I'm putting too much faith in the system, but I gotta believe that's true. So I can't imagine the maimed shaila is still a shaila, but the first shaila is pretty serious. That he's saying that it could be a din of gzeiras tikra, and that's why Alach L'maisa Rav Yashiv does not approve of the schach mats. Happens to be every other posek. Major posek on the books does approve the schach mats, not concerning themselves with this reason. They might have other reasons, maybe maimed, maybe some other weird reasons, but lemaisa, nobody else seems to be choshesh for this tshuvas harashba. Not because they don't agree with the tshuvas harashba, and not because they don't agree with Rav Yashiv either, I don't think. I think the one major nekudas hamachlokes is that Rav Yashiv wants to bring a raya that if the boards are right next to each other, even the Rajva would say that's Gzeiras Tikra. You'll argue that the schach mats are far enough apart that the rain can get through. So he says, so what? If you have something that's a neser, the sherach of Dalid, and you poked holes in it, that's not automatically going to make it good. So what's the difference? What's the clear svar l'chalik? Why is this not the same thing? Again, why is a schach mat going to be yes kosher, because the rain can go through it, versus a Neser Sherach of Dalid going to still be not kosher, even though you poked holes in it? Yeah. Right, meaning it's pasha like that, no? That just because you poked holes in an Eser Sherach of Dalid doesn't mean that's not the exact thing that they made the Gzeir on. This is Gufa it. They made Gzeir's Tikra on this. Now, maybe they also made Gzeir's Tikra on smaller slats that are nailed together or tied together, but perhaps they wouldn't have been Gozer if they weren't tied together so tightly that the rain couldn't go through. And that's mashma from the opening tosis in the opening daf in the Masechta, Right? The Tosfos on the bottom beats him enough. We spent some time on that Tosfos once upon a time. Right? Tosfos said, you know, if you were koveya your roof with masmeir that the rain can't get in, that's the bottom Tosfos on beats him enough. Right? So if you nailed in your roof, so it would only be a violation of Gzeiris Tikra. But Lechora, everything else would be good. So what does he mean? If you nailed it in so well that the rain couldn't get in, you'd be in violation of Gzeiris Tikra. Why is he saying that? Nestama, because he holds to this idea. Again, it's not a raya, but I think that's the mashmos. Right? He holds to this idea that in order for something to be Gzeiris Tikra, if you're going to take smaller pieces of wood and be mitzdarif them, then you have to be mitzdarif them in such a way that it completely blocks out the rain. But if it's just one wide piece of wood, it doesn't even have to block out the rain. If you had, let's say you had a sukkah with four tefach wide boards and they were next to each other, but you had a really big sukkah and the rain was coming in anyway, just wasn't coming in so many spots. So, of course, that's still Gzeiris Tikra, because each neser is gufa what they were gozer on. So, I hear both sides very well. Lemaisa, the Avni Nezer, in his tshuva, has a tshuva about similar cases. The Avni Nezer is in Tufay and Gimel and Arachayim. The Avni Nezer says this svar that if you tie them together and the rain can still get through, it's definitely not going to be Gzeiris Tikra. Other posts can also have it. All the contemporary posts can. You look in the Piskei Tshuvas if you want to see all the names, who holds what. But Rav Yashiv is definitely Das Yachid in terms of continuing to aser the mats because of that svara of Gzeiris Tikra. Okay, yeah.
Maybe just look at it. Is there also an issue of being able to see the stars?
So again, seeing the stars is definitely only lechatchila. The question is, what does it mean the stars even? Do you have to have a great view of the stars? Or does it mean sunlight? Does it mean sunlight and starlight? I don't know if it means that you have to dafka see the little circles. I think it means you have to be able to see light coming in through the moon and the stars. I don't know if it's lav dafka that you have to actually see the gufa star. But lemaisa, even with the mats, I don't know, in my sukkah, when I'm lying on my back and the lighting is right, meaning that the lights are completely off in the sukkah there is light coming from the sky, even the mats you can see the stars pretty well. The reason you can't see them most of the time is that it's lighter in the sukkah than it is on top, so you get that glare effect. So, but lemaisa, they would have to be pretty tight together for you to not be able to see through. You know. Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
Are the folks going to rely? Are the folks going to rely on the fact that Rashi says Yesh Chulkin Bazeh when there's? We said that Rashi says that one could argue, and that's talking about a case where they were separate.
Right.
And then they were separate. So since our host can review it, the mats is separate, so we're going with that Yesh Chulkin in the Rashba, like we're relying on that shoot, basically. It's like even in the Rashba, it's just a Yesh, it's only Yesh, and not only, I'm saying, it's not like
Rashba. Well, not everybody holds like the Rashba to begin with, meaning not everybody holds like the Rashba to begin with. Most Rishonim even would never have imagined that's Gzeiris Tikra. Gzeiris Tikra is what the Gemara says, not this new kind of Gzeiris Tikra. Right?
You have stuff going on in the gym?
No. No, you can definitely close it. So you can, I mean, again, Gzeiris Tikra, I don't think most Rishonim ever imagined the Rajba's case being called Gzeiris Tikra. And even within that, the Rashba says Yesh Cholkin. So Rabbi Yashiv says, yeah, but the Aschach Mat, the Rashba would definitely say is Pasul, and I'm not willing to go against that Rashba. So I think that's more of where he's going with it.